You know, I've farmed for the biggest part of my adult life. And one, I've raised different kinds of fruits. I've raised pears and cherries and apples, peaches. And one of the most enjoyable aspects of farming for me is watching the fruit grow. You know, in the springtime, the trees bloom out and they set fruit. The bees are busy working in the trees. They set fruit. And then I start looking to see how big the crop is, because that's generally how you're going to make your living for the year. And all these smaller, immature fruits are on the tree. And you start watching them grow. I know for peaches, it's almost kind of funny in a way to me, as I pull that husk off the little peach. There's a little tiny fuzzy peach there, and it's really not very big. You can hardly make it out. But it's fun to watch the fruit grow over the season, and they slowly start maturing, growing. And there's a time when the fruit reaches optimum sugar levels, and that's generally when you like to pick them. There's different ways that you can measure fruit or sugar in fruit, and they have different ways of doing that. But there's a problem that's been occurring in agriculture today, is because of the distance that they have to travel to get the fruit to the stores, and they want a long shelf life for their fruit. So many times the fruit is picked immature, and that is, it doesn't really have, it looks good, but it doesn't have the proper amount of sugar in the fruit. And for me, it's very disappointing sometimes to go down to Safeway or another store and buy a big, beautiful watermelon. You know, you do the test, and it sounds good. It sounds like that one's a ripe one. You get it home, and it's green. And a lot of fruit is picked before it should be picked. I know peaches is a problem, and that's one reason a lot of people are buying locally, because they're not worried, you know, on the fruit stands and stuff like that, they're not worried about a long shelf life, or they don't have a long distance to haul their fruit, so they can pick it at a more optimum time. But I do enjoy watching the fruit mature. I'm not going to talk about fruit today. I enjoy talking about fruit, but I'm not going to talk about it today. I want to talk about another maturity, spiritual maturity in our Christian lives. You know, it's something we all wish to have in the church. We'd all like to be thought of as being spiritually mature. We don't want to be thought as immature. Spiritual maturity in our Christian lives is something, like I said, we all wish we had in the church. It's a very broad subject. You know, someone could give many sermons on spiritual maturity. I thought about it, and I thought, you know, God, as He looks down on His people that He's called in His church and given His Holy Spirit to, God must have a lot of joy when He sees His children grow and mature as Christians and become more Christ-like. I think God and Jesus Christ must really enjoy that, to see people growing and getting more mature. You know, certainly Jesus Christ is a perfect example of spiritual maturity. When He was in the flesh and He walked on the earth, He was perfect in spiritual maturity. And we should follow His example. You know, what are some of the attributes that God would like to see in a mature Christian? What are some of the characteristics that would define a mature Christian? Today, let's look at a mature Christian and use God's words from the Bible to give us insight on spiritual maturity. Before we get started on the subject, let us build some groundwork on spiritual maturity. To grow to spiritual maturity, We must have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, we couldn't grow into spiritual maturity. We have to have that. We must be growing and actively following the Holy Spirit's guidance. It guides us in all truth and knowledge and how we should live our lives. And we must live by every word of God in our lives. You know, however long we have been in the church, or whether we are old of age, does not guarantee spiritual maturity. I remember a lot of the feasts I would go to when I first came into the church. I hadn't been in very long. And they would ask, how long have you been in the church? 30 years, stand up, 20 years, you know, they would do all that and the people would stand up. And I always felt kind of immature because there were a lot of people that had been in the church for 30, 40, 50 years. And as time has gone by, I am getting of the age where I can been in the church for quite a long time. My wife and I have been in the church for over 40 years. But you know, being older and of old age doesn't guarantee that you're spiritually mature. Attaining spiritual maturity is a lifelong process for all of us. You know, Matthew 5:48, don't turn there, but it says, therefore you shall be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect. But you know, brethren, none of us can be perfect in that sense, exactly like Jesus Christ. We strive to have the mind of Christ and be like Christ. But what does perfect mean here? The Expositor's Bible commentary states that the Greek word for perfect here is teleos, which can be rendered mature or full grown. We are in a lifelong process of becoming more like Jesus Christ or mature. We strive to be like Christ. We may never be perfect like Christ was, but we strive for that. And we become more mature, more spiritually mature as we live God's way of life. And we all during that process can have ups and downs and at times can have acts of immaturity. I know in my lifetime, I've did some really immature things that I look back on and I wish I would have, in certain circumstances, acted a little more mature. But we all at times don't have perfect maturity. Sometimes we have to learn lessons. We have to learn over time to have the mind of Christ. And that's only through experience. The more we experience different situations, and with God's Spirit helping us, we can learn lessons and we become more spiritually mature. Many times we struggle with our human nature. Sometimes we lose it. I remember, I felt real bad this year. I was in a grocery store and there was this bag boy. And he was being very rude to me. And I kind of got a little upset. And afterwards, I thought, you know what? I shouldn't have got upset like that, so upset. I don't know if it's all the pressure with the COVID-19 or what. But I felt a little bit bad afterwards, even though this individual was being rather rude. But, you know, we learn from our lessons. We learn lessons from our struggles and things we come in contact with in life. And like I say, we all struggle with our human nature. It's part of overcoming. You know, the purpose of this split sermon is to allow us to look at spiritual maturity in a positive way, not a negative way, but a positive way, and pause and consider the attributes we should have as spiritual mature Christians. You know, we cannot cover all the points on this subject. There's no way you can in a split sermon. But let's begin by looking at some very important points we should consider. We must remember That eternal life is a free gift. We can't earn it. But we must be doing our part in growing and producing fruit of the Spirit. A spiritually mature person studies the Word of God and applies that knowledge in how he walks in life and teaches others in the body of Christ. Let's turn now to Hebrews 5:12. Hebrews 5:12. And Paul's addressing a problem in this section with some of the people in the church there. He says, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of a full age, those that are mature. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." Here we see that a mature Christian, when he takes the Word of God and uses it and applies it and comes to a point with God's Spirit guiding him, can learn to discern both good and evil. I remember back in 1995, when false teachings crept into the church, there were wolves in sheep clothing that came into the church. And there were many brethren who were not able to discern the false teachings. I was really surprised. Many ministers and brethren were swept away because they could not discern between right and wrong. As we battle the world and Satan, our spiritual maturity with God's help will give us the proper discernment. There are so many things that can come along in life where we have to make decisions on how we will react and deal with them. A spiritually mature person will hold on to his godly principles, no matter what is going on around him. A spiritually mature Christian will also have a sound mind. Let's turn to 2 Timothy 1:6. 2 Timothy 1:6. It says, "Therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind." You know, we as mature Christians should reflect power, love, and a sound mind. This bodes well for us in the body of Christ and our dealings in the world. There is nothing that is more dangerous for anyone whose mind is unsound. It leaves individuals open to Satan's devices that can deceive and steal away sound doctrine. And there's so many things now on the internet, so many different doctrines and conspiracy theories and different things that people are putting out there, that a person that's a mature Christian needs to be able to discern what's right and what's wrong. We have to have a sound mind. We have to look at things and say, no, this is not right. Let's turn now to Ephesians 4 and verse 11. Ephesians 4, 11. It says, "And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man." Here we see that perfect man again, or that mature man, a mature Christian. "To the measure and the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every kind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. There is that word grow, growing up, becoming mature, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love, building up the church. You know, brethren, we are all part of the body of Christ. A mature Christian teaches others and edifies the body of Christ. Like certain fruit trees need pollination from another tree, God's people can have spiritual cross-pollination from the interchange of teaching and sharing of our experiences and thoughts. You know, there are certain kinds of trees that need cross-pollen. A Bartlett tree needs D'Angio pollen if they want to set a really good crop. So farmers will plant these trees next to each other. Same with cherries. Like a Lambert cherry needs a Bean cherry planted pretty close by so that it will be fruitful, and it needs a pollinizer. And you know, if those pollinizers are too far apart, you don't get as much fruit, and sometimes you won't get any fruit. Sometimes there might just be a few. But if you're a farmer, you want a lot of fruit. It's kind of like with the church. You know, if we're separated from each other, we can't have that spiritual cross-pollination, sharing and helping one another, lifting people up and caring for one another, edifying each other. We all have had experiences and stories, and we all have something to share in the body of Christ. But if we're separated, and that's why it's so important that we come together on the Sabbath and at different times. It's been very hard with this COVID-19 to do that, but it's a reason to come together. The more mature we are, the more we strengthen the church. The more immature we are, it weakens the church. You know, a mature Christian loves God and keeps his commandments. Let's turn over to 1 John 5, 1-5. First John 5, verse 1. It says, "Whosoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves him who begot also loves him who is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God," the church, "when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and that is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God?" You know, loving the brethren and God go together. They're not separate. They go together. And it's shown by keeping his commandments. Jesus also taught not only to keep the law, but to keep the spirit of the law. The spiritually mature Christians might stumble now and then, and we all do, but can repent for his or her actions. We all have sinned and will sin, but we keep trying to lead a godly life. We have sinned in the past, and we sin now, and we'll probably sin in the future. But we are trying to become more like Jesus Christ. We have Jesus Christ as our high priest, and he intercedes for us when we stumble and repent. Let's turn now to Hebrews 10:23. Hebrews 10:23. Let's start, Hebrews 10 and verse 23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more you see the day approaching. You know, brethren, we are a family, and the love for God and our brethren should move us to stir up love and good works in each other. Each of us, if we are spiritually mature, has the opportunity and potential of being in the kingdom of God and sharing an eternity together as God's children. We are children now, but we will be spirit beings someday and children in the kingdom. God has called us into the church, and we need to look out for each other. Not only the first fruits have been called for salvation, but also all those in the future who repent and who eventually will be saved. God's going to have a big, big family. And brethren, we have a responsibility for caring for our brothers and sisters in Christ and fulfilling our calling. Sometimes people are down or having problems, and we can lift them up. We find out how they're doing. If they're having problems, we can help them. A mature Christian puts others before himself. And let's turn now to Philippians. Philippians 2 and verse 3. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than himself. And you know, brethren, that's not an easy thing to do sometimes, but I have noticed over the years that God's people, many of God's people have done this. They have put others before themselves. It says, let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interest of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name. Jesus has set an example for us. He gave his life for us. He continually put others before himself. It's difficult to do at times, but we become true servants like Christ when we do this. We are caring and concerned for others and not only for ourselves. And like I said before, I've seen many people in God's church do this. And it's a commendable thing. We need to humble ourselves and learn to serve each other. It's part of being a mature spiritual Christian. Let's turn over now to Matthew 6. Matthew 6. In verse 1. And this is talking about serving in the church. I had an elder one time that told me, he said, you know, some of the most valuable service is a service that people do that doesn't ever get noticed. And there are many people in God's church that do this. But in Matthew 6, in verse 1, it says, "Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men, to be seen by them. Otherwise you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly." So we see, like I said before, that a lot of service that doesn't get noticed is, you know, really commendable. People aren't looking to get credit for doing something. And there's many in God's church that do this. A mature Christian also sets a good example. He sets a good example for others in the church, in the body of Christ, and also out in the world. We need to be a mature Christian to set a good example. And like I say, we do it in the church and outside the church. Many of us have worked in the world, and many, I'm working now managing a cherry orchard, and I have people around me, and they know that I keep the Sabbath. They never talk to me much about my religion, but they can see certain things about me, and I hope they're good. But I try to set a good example. There's been a lot of situations that come up, I think, for all of us, where we've had to put our beliefs into practice, and we set a good example. Let's turn over to Matthew 5:13. And we've read these verses many times, brethren. It says, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing, but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, as it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." When we grow and mature spiritually, brethren, we glorify God. We set the good example for others. Our example says so much about who we are, and it also says something about God, because we have God's Spirit in us. We don't want to misrepresent God or do something that doesn't really glorify God in all our actions. The Bible doesn't suggest that we become spiritually mature. It commands that we do. And like I said before, it takes time. It takes time to become spiritually mature. And even as we get older, until Christ comes or until we die, we can still be maturing and learning things. And you're never too old to get more spiritual maturity. You know, as we get closer to the return of Jesus Christ, and I think we are getting closer, we wait individually and collectively as the body of Christ. We all need to grow in spiritual maturity. And when we do, the church will make herself ready. You know, brethren, I'm looking forward to next spring when the trees will be blooming, when the blossoms will be coming out, when the bees will be in the trees, and I'm on my tractor, and I get off my tractor, and I look around, see if there's any fruit that's set on those trees, and watching the tree mature, and it's a miracle. And it's a miracle, I believe, when God calls us into His church and gives us His Spirit, and we become spiritually mature Christians. We change, we grow, we produce fruits of the Spirit, and it is truly a miracle. And I think God looks down on His church and sees people that He's called in His church and how they've changed and how they've grown and how they've matured, and it must be very pleasant for Him. You know, we're not far off. I was talking to my wife today about, here it is already December, and before long, it'll be going into another new year. A new year begins shortly for us, brethren. May we all take the opportunity to grow even more into mature spiritual Christians.